Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dustin Nichols, here tonight. Got a pretty killer show for you this segment here. We'll get rolling on that here shortly. Just wanted to give an update to the skunk fest that went on this past weekend. Actually chased some greenfish this weekend. Didn't even have a chance to pre-fish this lake, and I've never been on that lake before. I've heard horror stories about it, how brutal it can be, or how you catch the biggest bass of your life on there. Well, that was pretty much the case. Had a couple opportunities that I missed. Lost a fish on the jig, lost a fish on the Nico rig, had one on a spinner bait that was pretty dang good, and didn't put any of them in the boat. Well, fortunately, everybody else had about the same problem. 121 anglers signed up, only 28 of them put fish on the board. 18 people only had one fish, and the rest was kind of scattered up to first place. First place had four fish, right at like 65 inches. I think second had 51 inches with three. So to say it was tough is an understatement. So just remember, I mean, you can be humbled on any body of water. So not only do you take that and use it to get better, but it just, man, it can really turn things around for you and make you realize, you know, that there's hard bodies of water to fish, you know, and it makes you want to work harder that next time you go back out there or the next tournament you have to really, you know, hunker down on the map study and understanding things a little more better of those fisheries. So, yeah, quite a humbling experience for me and plenty of others. So, yeah, good stuff going on. You know that. We got a couple more tournaments coming up with Northeast Texas Kayak Bass League, then another one with TXKBO on Lady Bird Lake Austin. Then some saltwater events to start kicking back off. I know the Salty Yak Pack is another podcast. The Salty Yak had a saltwater event this past weekend that ran a consecutive 26 hours, and it seems some of they had a little trouble catching fish. I know first place, I think, had 19 measurable fish on the board, and then like second place had like three ties with six fish, and then down on that from that number there. But yeah, them guys, almost wish I would have went and fished that event instead of chasing those bass. But you know, that's what's pretty much been going on. Looking forward to some stuff coming up in with Jackson in Florida. Coming up, we'll have some more details on that to come, along with announcements and a event page going up for the Chasing the Tide Three Bells Redfish Greenfish Challenge will be in October again, 21st, 22nd. So we'll have an event page going up for that soon too. But for But for now, that's about it. With no further ado, here we go. We're going to bring our guest on tonight. We got Brandon Pearson coming on, Mr. Saltwater Aviator here in the house. What's going on, man? You doing good tonight?
Hey, what's going on, dude? Yeah, man, doing great. Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, just winding up on the day shifts this week. I got a couple more days, and then I'll be off for nine. Actually, my long break, and then I'm taking off a couple days next weekend to fish a tournament. So definitely excited about being able to travel up to some East Texas lakes up there. That Welsh Reservoir would be pretty fun, especially with the warm-up we have coming. And then hopefully looking forward to getting on the water next week and go chase some of them bull redfish too. I need to throw a couple of them to get some of them going too. But hey, normally we just start out with the introduction, and you know, want you to take the mic there, introduce yourself, and give a little quick backstory. You know, where you're from, what got you into fishing young, or when you started, and what led you into getting into that plastic boat.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So born and raised about an hour southeast in Nashville, Tennessee, a little place called Manchester. As far as the fishing goes, man, I absolutely have, once they just dug in the last few years. I grew up kind of pond fishing, hopping from here and there, a couple of ponds, catfish and things like that. Once I got into high school and early years of college, was fishing with my uncle quite a bit on Nickajack Lake, Chickamauga Lake, Gunnersville Lake there in northern Alabama. So same kind of places that you was just talking about. You either strike gold or you strike out. So one of the two. From there, went to school, ROTC, commission for the Army. I spent 8 years flying as a medevac officer, was first stationed at Fort Bragg with the 82nd Combat Aviation Brigade, and then spent some time down at Fort Rucker. And that's where I really got into saltwater fishing. I fished a little bit at Bragg here and there with my father-in-law out on the coast of North Carolina around Surf City, Topsail Island area. Yeah. But it wasn't until I moved down to Fort Rucker that I really got into it. I was a geo bachelor at the time. My wife was an Army nurse. We had a one-year-old, and she was back at Fort Bragg, and I lived an hour and a half from the coast down at Fort Rucker. So any chance I got, once we were done with school and our work, man, I was down in Panama City Beach just chasing the fish. Down Choctahatchee Bay, Freeport area.
Oh, yeah. Where is Fort Rucker? What town is that near?
It's in Enterprise, Alabama.
It's in Alabama.
Yeah.
Like right southern across Alabama, the state, like Dothan and stuff over that way?
Absolutely, okay. Yeah, just west, about 30 minutes west of Dothan, Alabama.
Okay,
so
cool.
If you're familiar with the
straight shot down to the Florida Panhandle right there.
Yeah. That's it, man. It was 103 miles from my house to the beach. So I run that road quite a bit. But got into, once 2018, really got into saltwater fishing. Had a couple of good run-ins with bull redfish, fishing out of an old town, 14-foot plastic canoe. Me and a buddy of mine, and that's kind of where it
gets you on
started.
The water, man. That's right. That's, you know,
that's it. We used to get out of class and drive down our 2 hours and fish till after dark, and then get up, drive back, and get up the next morning and go
that's
to work.
That's what you call ate up with it.
Yeah,
tug is a drug, man.
That's it, dude. So between redfish and some bull reds and a couple of black drum, and then finally started exploring the sea trout world a little bit. That's kind of where it kicked off. I started following the guys over at Salt Strong. And that's right after they had just started, and just tried to learn as much as I could from 2018 on. We ended up PCSing out to Savannah, Georgia, Hunter Army Airfield with Third Cab, and was fortunate enough to be pretty close to the water. Ended up investing in a Hobie Outback at the time. And we moved there, and dude, was on the water every chance I could get. That was kind of my therapy. I had a pretty high octane job. And when I was not at work, I was home with the wife and kids. And then we were out on the water if we could. So one thing I learned out there in Savannah is, doesn't matter what time of year it is, there's fish around somewhere.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. A lot of them deep creeks and marsh influx with the deeper channels and the creeks and the creek bends and all that. And redfish stack up in there, the trout stack up in there. Move
the
up
doggone
those
flounder.
Rivers and the flounder. Yeah, and that's the thing about that. where you're at now, you don't have to deal with that big of a tide swing compared to the East Coast, the Atlantic seaboard right there in the Southeast, for sure.
Yeah, man. And that's what I cut my teeth on. So yeah. When I moved here, I was kind of out of my element. I was used to, you know, stiff tide swings and targeted choke points
water
and everything.
Because all of the marsh and mud, the water's a little more muddy at times, a little dirtier. But, you know, moving down there to the Panhandle, you got some grass flats. You got, you know, those tannic water rivers where the bass are with the trout at times and all the good stuff, you know, man.
Heck yeah, dude. So got into the saltwater fishing really hot and heavy out there in Savannah, learned quite a bit. And then we left the Army, joined the Coast Guard and moved here to Pensacola area. And everything I learned about saltwater fishing just went right out the door. All that muddy water and heavy current disappeared. And now I'm working on finesse and working the grass flats and the sand flats and trying to trick those redfish and trout into something a little bit different. It's not about making noise and making movement. It's more about, you know, drawing their attention and being subtle at the yep. same time. So that's it, dude. Since we've gotten here to Pensacola, you know, redfish is still my favorite. That's where my heart is. There's nothing like fighting a 35, 36 inch redfish from a kayak in a sitting position. Mm-hmm. But kind of opened my eyes up once we're down here a little bit more to the trout world and getting into those bigger trout that like to hang out on our grass flats down here.
Yeah,
there's something special
about
those.
To get into that, and things are special when they get over 24 inches, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Different breed when they mature and get some weight on them, and just apex predator of the flat, you know. They're wrecking everything they get, you know, that they just ambush stuff so violently. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, they call it, it's a trump or a trout thump for sure. Like when they thump
yeah.
that lure,
when
you know what it is.
When they're feeding well, it's a distinct bite, especially this time of year in Texas when we're using those suspended twitch baits, especially the Paul Brown Corky or MR17 or deep water with the MR18, little heavier to get down a little quicker. But I mean, you know it when they hit it. It's like doink. I mean, they knock slack in the line, and I've had. You know, with the, you know, I do dabble with the bigger glide baits. You know, I just got a ladyfish from Mike Herman. I've been itching to throw and haven't had the chance to get out on the water. So
yeah.
I'm excited to throw that one right there. Donkey Bay Swim Baits, everybody. Check them out. And then a guy in actually Pensacola paints these. If you're watching on the video, you can see it. But I know we'll be streaming on all the podcast platforms, you might be able to see it, but that was a ladyfish imitation, and this one is like a little shad imitation. It's a IS iGlide 135, little small one there. Then I got some little twitch baits he does me for the finesse stuff. This runs about a foot under the water. This looks like a croaker.
That's
I'm
sweet,
telling
man.
You about Jeff Brown over there in Pensacola.
Yeah,
and this is, you have to check him out. I'll have to find some stuff for you for him, because that guy paint some of the better lures on the pocket. There's a Triro top water he painted for me too. It's got a
oh wow
single rattle with BBs. I always called it a little snakehead. It's an Amakatsu Triro or somehow you say it, Japanese kind of lure.
Dude, that's sick.
Very neat stuff. Yeah, he paints some yeah. really cool stuff. I'm sitting on a couple of them waiting for top water. It's like some maracas for a big old trout to come up and eat.
That's it, man.
So yeah, we'll dive in a little bit about the overview of the area you're in, the fishery, and just talk a little bit more about that before we go into some other things here this evening. Pensacola area.
Yeah, I'm actually out of Navarre.
Navarre,
have Pensacola.
Yes.
Pensacola is just to the west of us. Navarre is kind of halfway, for those that aren't familiar. It's the halfway point between the Destin and Pensacola inlets. The way Pensacola is laid out, you know, you've got Pensacola Bay and Escambia Bay on the west side, mm-hmm. and then you've got Garcon Point kind of splits Escambia Bay and the East Bay on the east side of it. This area, man, is phenomenal. Not only do you have the two ginormous bay systems with their river deltas that kind of come into on the East Bay, you've got East River, Yellow River, and Blackwater River all dump into that yeah. one bay system. But we also have running east and west along the coast between Destin and Pensacola, you have the Santa Rosa Sound. And that sound in the summertime will fill up with grass that we call a June grass down here. And it's just, it's phenomenal structure and ecosystem for both trout, redfish. I've heard of some big flounder caught down here. I personally haven't caught them.
Do the big jacks cruise it too and like crash top waters there in that time of year?
They do over on the western side, over towards Pensacola.
Yeah.
Around the Gulf Breeze area, around the three mile bridge. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of jacks in there. Big Spanish in the fall. The Spanish will come up in there in the summertime.
Yeah,
they'll move up in the bay. And then I even caught a barracuda, randomly enough, out of a marsh system over there two years ago.
That's a little far north up in there, too.
Yeah, I was shocked. I made sure I took pictures of it because I didn't think anybody would believe me. I had to send it to one of my buddies that primarily does offshore stuff. I was like, hey, this is a barracuda, right? It's absolutely.
For sure. And it don't slouch on offshore structure there, too, because Navarre's got all of those artificial reefs there off of the beach, and you can beach launch from the beach parks there and just go out there and crush the snapper. Yeah. You can have a chance at tarpon along the beach, sailfish, mahi-mahi, cobia.
Yeah, our big thing right now is the blackfin tuna.
The blackfin come in, that's right.
Dude, so yeah, they were here a couple of weeks ago. They pushed out last weekend. We had a little warm-up, and they pushed offshore. And then a little cooler nights this week, and there's been a couple of reports that they've been catching them. About this time last year, I think it was February 18th last year, they caught 30 just off the pier.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Dang. Yeah, Navarre Pier is known for that good stuff. I had stopped there a few times when I would drive back and forth to Georgia and surf. If there's waves, I'd always check the surf report. Is there waves in Navarre? Is there waves in Navarre or Okaloosa Island or somewhere over there? And I'd check it. And if there was surf, I was like, man, I'm going to hit it and watch this road grime off, you know, because it's a 30-minute detour off I-10, but it's not too bad.
No.
But, man, that's a pretty prime area over there. I got one of my Torquedo teammates over there, Brandon Barton. He's also on the Hobie fishing team. He's a guide over there in that area and does a lot of good stuff. Along with Matt Van is over there also. Pretty good, both real good dudes. And then from where you're at, you're not too far away from like Gulf Shores, Fort Morgan over there. Some of those river systems that come into Wolf Bay and different areas over there into Fairhope and all that along Mobile Bay. There's some great fishing over there too. I mean, that's an hour away, you know.
Yeah, not far at all.
Within all of that, and there's some rivers over there that hold some absolutely monster redfish. I've caught one of my biggest redfish on the kayak over there in that area, north of Gulf Shores.
Awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
On a crankbait. Yep, crankbait in the creeks, like 8-foot channel swings with a little 1.5 series square bill caught up. Pushing 50-inch redfish on it.
Jeez. Yeah, there's some studs in this area, man.
Up there around the bridge, too, at the lights of the old bridge going across into Gulf Breeze, there's some giants out there. I know I've seen some footage of Brandon with Jeff Little and them catching the big bull reds and then tarpon on occasion out there, too.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great area, both summer and wintertime.
Yeah, for sure.
You hear guys catch them off the bridge structure. They call them bridge monsters.
The bridge monsters.
Get them.
Yeah, but we're talking about these fish and, you know, favorite species. I mean, I don't know. Mine's definitely chasing the bigger trout this time of year, especially. I'm a multi-species angler. I do like to fish for everything, bass included. Call me crazy, but that's what I grew up farm ponding, jumping around in southeast Georgia and riding my bikes to neighborhood ponds and sneaking into golf course ponds and the college ponds. All that good stuff when you're a kid, up to that, you know, sneakiness back there trying to find fishing holes, you know. and always had that that Trump card in my back pocket. Hey, my granddad's the fire chief. You know, Chief Nichols, I'm his grandson. I'm not gonna leave any trash. I'm just gonna catch him and turn him loose. You know, but yeah, favorite species right now. What are you keyed in on the most? I know, man. I think it's gonna be the same with me with them trout. So.
Yeah, man. Trout have a special place in my heart. They're phenomenal creatures. They're kind of what's driving us for this competition that we kind of set up.
Yep.
But I'd say pound for pound, the toughest fighting fish and the most fun fish for me to catch, especially in this area, and it's got to be the redfish, man. There's not a single fish that fights like the redfish.
Oh, no.
Just pound for pound. I mean, you catch a 18-inch redfish, and that makes anybody's day. You know, even got to be an overslot, but...
Yeah, I've have quite a few guys from the bass side come and join me, and especially in the fall, like September, October, November, when they really start pushing bait. You know, we get some big flood tides, and it pushes all the shrimp up in the grass, and then you'll have the white snowy egrets hopping down the bank playing hopscotch. Because mm-hmm. I said it before on here before, if you see them birds together, there's more than three or four of them, and they running around like with their chicken with a head cut off. They don't like each other. If they're not mating, they eating. They follow the redfish that are pushing all the shrimp up everywhere. And they play hopscotch. So, man, I've had them put on that. We'll run across to the other side of the marsh lake. Say, here they come, here they come. We're going to set up right here and wait on them. And then they'll, all of a sudden they'll just see like the heads of the redfish, about 40 of them. Just, I said, throw right there, you know, throw on the back of them and rip one out the back. And then we'll fight those. And then we'll go catch up to them and get in front of them again and rip a couple more out. You know, it gets pretty crazy. You know, and that's always fun too, but man, I really like getting down to Laguna, down south of Corpus, you know, and fishing those grass flats with the sand pockets and all that, and just using the wind to drift, and then kind of put your stakeout pole down and set up on a couple pockets and just fan cast through them, and some days during when the sun's right, you can actually see the fish in there and kind of throw right to them with a spoon or a plastic or a little wake bait, get them to eat, you know, and just watch them. You'll see them come up out of nowhere and just half a blast, and then every now and then you get a big trout down there too. But you know, redfish are fun for sure. They're a little dumber than the big trout, but
they are. Now the trout, if you want to say, hey, what's your favorite for sport fishing, is it'd be trout. But if you want to go out and get in a fight or something, man, that's definitely gotta be my redfish.
Yes, the redfish. So, well, yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the tournament. You started something up this year. It's pretty cool in the conservation side of things. So I was,
Man.
I jumped in it a little later once I found it, and then I was like, shoot, yeah, man, this is cool, man. I like this. So give everybody some info on that. Race to 20.
Yeah, Race to 20 is a competition for conservation. That's what we're going to call it. Honestly, man, it didn't start off like that. It's kind of a wild story. My brother, Nate Blair, him and I were sitting here one night after dinner, and we was just looking back through our phone, talking about fishing trips that we've had over the past year, and was like, hey, dude, let's set a goal. Let's see how many fish we can catch this year. Let's see how many trout over 20, and then let's see how many redfish we can catch. And we started off with like 10 or 12 trout. We started looking through our pictures, like, we could do better than that. Let's do 20. We said, all right, so a goal we're going to start off with is going to be 20 trout over 20 inches. How many redfish want to go for? Is it five? So we could do that. We do five over 30. Well, that's too easy. Let's go 10 over 30. And it started off as kind of a bet between
like
him and I.
Like a side bet between, like a bro, like a bro deal. Yep.
Just to push each other and to make each other better anglers. And that's kind of how it started. And I was talking about it one day at work with another guy that fishes with us. And he was like, dude, that's cool. Can I get in on it? I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? And then some other guys started hearing us talk about it, and it kind of took off. And I got the idea. I was like, hey, we should push this over to release over 20. And let David Flad and those guys run it through their system. They're a little bit more established than we are.
Yeah, and I had Dave on here before too. Dave's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a great man. Yeah, and Dave was like, hey, man. He's like, honestly, I love the idea. He just didn't have the bandwidth at the time.
Right.
And so he asked me to kind of run with it, and I was like, yeah, sure. I'd run it off an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And we did that, and Nate brought up, he's like, do you think you could put this on Instagram and see if other guys want to get into it and just make it more competitive? And it kind of, we threw it up on Instagram, we talked about it a little bit, and it kind of took off from there. And next thing we knew, we had five anglers in it, and then we had six anglers in it. And then the next week we had two more join, and the next week we had two more join. And then by the time, you know, I think a month or so, by the time you came in, I think we had 15 guys when you jumped into it, 12 yeah. or 15 guys.
And then added some more after that too.
Yeah, I think now we're up to 17. I got 17 anglers from Texas through the Gulf Coast and then up the East Coast all the way to Virginia Beach.
Right.
Yeah. So, Mayo. And it, yeah. Oh, Corey Mayo, man. That guy's.
Or Corey Mayo, yeah.
Yeah, Corey.
I always think it's Sean. I got a buddy named Sean Mayo, actually. That's
what I'm, C. Mayo. He scared me off the bat. I think it was like the first week he put up six. And he said he was fishing from the bank. And I was like, man, I don't know where this guy's fishing at. But he put up six trout over 20, man. And it just kind of – it took off, and we were talking about it. It's like, hey, what's the purpose of this? Well, the purpose was to get more people in the catch and release mindset, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, God gives us dominion over fish, and he tells us, hey, you know, you can eat fish. We can harvest fish, and that was their intention. But he also makes us – he tells us – calls us to be good stewards of our resources.
Yes, we have to.
You have to, or it's going to go away. And there's enough environmental pressure and everything on fish as it is. The last thing we need to be doing is taking the breeder fish out of the population.
Like pulling teeth. So, I mean, it's a hard sell to some people, but, you know, enough people get involved like with this here, release over 20 and things like that. It's definitely getting seen, you know, for sure.
Well, it's taken off. And because it's taken off and we're getting so much attention, we've decided to start its own Instagram page, The Race to 20. It's got its own Instagram handle now, and we're actually going to run a summer session. You and I were speaking before the show. Yeah. We really haven't started yet ironing out all the final details for the scoring, but we're trying to configure it so that it still appeals to guys all the way from Texas to Virginia. And one of the biggest things that I'm hard, like just dead set, we will not charge an entry fee for this competition. The point of the competition is to include as many anglers as possible and to educate their friends and their friends' friends on the importance of these fish. Yeah. And so that's kind of the mindset. It's a free competition. Anybody can get into it. Just go to the Race to 20 website or Instagram handle and just be standing by, right, man. Here.
You'll be able to see that here on the screen, and we'll mention
there
it.
There you go.
Follow Brandon on IG at saltwater_aviator12, or you jump on the Race to 20 IG page. It's at the Race to 20. That's THERACETO, the number 2 and 0, the Race to 20. So yeah, check that out. That's for sure. Like, get that page built up. I can foresee some companies want to get behind this too. You know,
man, that'd be great.
See that happening.
That'd be great.
The mindset and the concept of it, and the conservation-minded effort behind this, and wanting to educate people on it. I can definitely see some companies that are involved in all of that wanting to get behind this. I do, for sure, especially with free entry fee, just like kind of like what Dave does. It's just a little different concept. We got different fish involved and stuff, so it's gonna be pretty cool. I'm excited to get it done in the summertime too.
Yeah, man. The Race to 20, it's in line and parallel with what Dave's doing with Release Over 20. You know, and those guys, we're partnered up with them this summer for the summer competition. We're going to be partnered up with them and got their support. And we're pushing guys like, hey, if you catch a fish over 20 inches, whether it's sheep's head, flounder, or trout, make sure you go over to their page and submit that fish for data purposes.
Yes. Sure.
Super excited. Dave Flatt is an awesome guy, man. Every two conversations I've had with him, he's just super genuine, super straightforward. When I was first setting up the Race to 20 and was having issues on Instagram, I just reached out and sent him a message, and he was more than willing to be helpful, you know, help out and help get this thing on its feet.
Yeah,
and
he's
get it
reposted
going,
and shared leaderboards and different updates and stuff like that.
Been
engaging on the post and everything too. So yeah, we all appreciate all of the trout guys that are, you know, there's guides here too in Texas that are all in on this conservation. You know, they want to respect our resource and preserve it, like we all do. I just love, you know, catching big trout, and I want them to be around for a long time. You know, I still want to be able to catch them in, you know, 5-10 years. I don't want to have to them to be a a white ghost out there, you know, just one. And, you know, I still love to just the thrill of chasing them, but then being able to, you know, put decent ones on the come to hand every, you know, every other trip or so, you know, I'm still finding some pretty decent ones, you know, so it's always a plus, especially after, you know, the freeze we had a couple years back, and we just had another little cold snap a few weeks back, and you know, luckily it wasn't a huge kill, but you know, there's some stunned fish here and there. But you know, just like with what you're doing, you know, just the importance of the conservation, and then the, you know, it plays in hand with helping us protect the resource, because there is a lot more increased fishing pressure along the coast. If you look at data over the years, I know Georgia is also doing some stuff with limits of redfish, and then Louisiana is actually starting to wake up about their trout population and why are we keeping so many little fish and this and that, and people are still fussing. And you know, it's just one of those things, you know, you got to understand it's not an infinite resource. It's not.
You know. No.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And when it comes down to it, I mean, you know, we're not one of these organizations that's like, hey, you can't harvest a fish over 20. Right. I say, no, man, there's nothing wrong with harvesting a fish over 20, but let's be smart about it. Do I need to harvest 5 fish over 20? Do I need to fill the freezer up every single trip? Because a lot of it comes down to education. And yes. I'll be honest with you, when I was out in Savannah, my father-in-law came down and we absolutely thumped them one day. Yeah. We were throwing back. So when I was in Savannah at the time, it was 15 trout per person.
Yeah.
And there was no upper slot, nothing like that. Here in Northwest Florida, you can keep 3. I think they got to be 16 inches to keep, and no more than 1 over 19 inches.
Yeah.
But in Georgia at the time, there was nothing like that, man. And we were throwing back 19-inch trout.
Oh, yeah.
We're just throwing them back. I mean, we were keeping anything from – we started the day off. We caught a couple of fat 18s and a couple of 19s. And we were on a spot where there was 3 canal systems that drained out and dumped into one little hole.
Yeah, like and a crow's foot.
Yep.
You know, like and a little chicken foot.
And right there in the center of that chicken foot, man, it was a place where it's about 3 foot deeper than anywhere else.
Yep.
And you couldn't get to it by boat because of the oysters. So when tide went out, they were all stacked in that one little spot.
Oh, yeah.
And we took home 23 fish that day that were all between 18 to 24 inches. And looking back, it was like, dude, why? Like, we didn't need them, you know? I mean, yeah, we froze them. We cleaned them all, put them all in the freezer, and they all got ate. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
We eat good in my house. But you know, there was no reason to keep those bigger fish. We could have kept the fat 16s and the fat 17s instead of keeping those fish. And it's because we didn't know any better. And that's part of the driving force behind this competition. One, about half the guys that are in this competition right now are either active duty military or their prior military service. So these guys have that competitive mindset and competitive edge to them. And then, you know, one, we get the competitive side to it. And then two, just educating folks.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about it at work and guys are like, hey, why are y'all throwing back 20-inch fish? And it's like, well, you know, a 20-inch trout, it takes them 4 years to get there. And each year beyond that, they produce exponential more eggs. Mm-hmm. And only, you know, I think 8 out of every 1,000 trout make it to 20 inches. And so each year beyond that, they become more and more special fish. I recently caught my personal best about 3 weeks ago as a 27.5-inch fish.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an 8 to 9 year old fish, man. That fish is.
That's at the end of its life cycle for a trout, too. That's pretty close to it. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that thing, and it's 8 to 8.5 to 9 years, it's survived predatory from other fish,
mm-hmm.
pelicans, you know, run ins with
birds. dolphins, yeah. porpoise, whatever they are.
Alligators. All the cold snaps that we've had.
Yeah.
Run-ins with other anglers that may or may not have handled them the best way.
Yep.
And that's what I'm trying to teach my girls about. It's like, hey, you don't just chunk a fish in the water, like always wet your hands before you touch a trout kind of thing. But it comes down to education. And that's what we're trying to do with the Race to 20, is to educate folks and to have a good time and a competitive spirit about
it. Oh, yeah. So. That's why I jumped in. I was like, shoot, I'm down for this. I said, I'm not quite chasing bull reds right now, but I'll try to get on with the trout bite when I can get out on the water, you know?
Yeah. Hey, man, I'm going to catch you. You got me by like 7 points right now. I'm going to catch you. I'm going to catch you with a trout. Now, when your bull reds come in, you might put a hurting on us, but I've already got seven out of my 10, man.
I don't really fish for redfish this time of year. That's what I'm saying. I got a couple spots I can go hit. I just need a couple more warm days, and sometimes they'll stack up in there. So, you know, it is what it is. If I don't catch reds, it's all good.
I'm going to catch you. You got till March 31st, so I'm excited to see what happens. Right now, this week, we're kind of in a lull. I've got to push my update out later on after we get off tonight. But I think we only had 6 fish that made the leaders board this week, even on a full moon cycle, which is kind of odd. You know, if you look historically over the last couple of months, we have a full moon cycle.
My full moon bite last month was good. I had some good, couple good nights or go before work. Every now and then I'm known to do that, like get on the water like 2 a.m. and fish until 4 and then go to work smelling like fish. Yeah, that's always fun.
Old Nate Blair, his gunship beast is okay. His hashtag, so dude, back in October we were both working nights and we'd get home early from a flight and we'd be on the water. He texts me, hey dude, you want to go hit dock lights? I'm like, absolutely,
let's go.
So we were on it, you know. In October we had the redfish up here and they were staying on bait around the dock lights. It was silly. It wasn't even fair.
That's when you throw them little jerk baits in there and they just annihilate them. Just
dude, we rolled up on a dock one night and there was fish blowing up on bait and we pulled up parallel to each other and simultaneous. I mean, it was beautiful. I wish we'd had a video of it. Synchronized cast, both lures hit the water at the exact same time and we started to retrieve and both lures got hit with fish at the same time. I caught an 18.5. I think his was like 22-inch red. But it was synchronized, the cast, plop, and the retrieve. It was amazing.
Oh, I know. So, I love getting off graveyards, and we make relief at, you know, we work 5 to 5, but we make relief at like 4:45. So I'm on the water by 5 o'clock, and normally that, you know, hour and a half before sunrise, especially if it coincides with the moonset and a big moonset, like I caught some good ones during that. I like lining up with the salinar periods, especially, you know, off the big moon with the coincide, you know, that minor that coincides with the sunrise has always been good to me. Caught some of my biggest trout on that moon. But then this week here coming out of the full moon is gonna be a little rough. I need another week or so maybe. Next week I'm gonna try to head down to the middle tick, like the coastal bend area down Corpus and south of Corpus and try to hit some spots up. Once we got a warming trend, I'm gonna try to get back down there and throw some big swim baits and throw some glide baits. I want to put that ladyfish to work from Donkey Bay. Appreciate Mike sending that over to me. Man, y'all need to check him out. Man, he's got some great baits on his page. And then Jeff Brown on Facebook. You find Jeff Brown and look at some of his stuff. I mean, he posts in some of those groups, Speckled Truth, Speckled Trout Fishing, and all them. And, you know, he's got some top-notch stuff, man. And he's got some really cool jerk baits. He shaves the bill down with a Dremel. And where they'll run, you know, a foot and a half deep and just stay above that grass on them flats too, and they just get murdered in that clear water.
The trout can't help it.
No, they can't help it, especially them erratic trout baits, dude. They just, it's crazy. It's crazy.
It's, so, that's the thing about some, trout.
The Florida Redfish League kicked off this year and actually have kayak division there in Florida. They just have one at Steinhatchee. Or however you say it, Steinhatchee, I guess, where the scallops are. But there's also a stop in Panama City this year coming up.
Okay.
In for the Florida Redfish League. No motors. They haven't got on that program yet. This is their first year. But, I'm glad to see some other stuff popping up, some of these redfish trails. Besides one we have quite a few here in Texas we're lucky to have. It's conservation minded on that too, because I know the one in Florida, they're doing CPR with like a tournament management app and measure them with a board with a code. Like the majority of our redfish tournaments are, you have to bring them in live, and if you don't, you get a half pound penalty per fish. You know, so we run live wells on our kayak with like O2 injection and a recirculator, and you carry G juice with you to help them, and a couple frozen water bottles when it's hot to throw in there and keep that water cool. You know, there's some little tricks and stuff you learn over the years trying to get these fish in without dragging them on a stringer. You know, because you know you drag them too fast on a stringer, you're gonna, you know, drown them pretty much. You just, they can't keep up, and especially. That's why when I catch redfish, I want to get them in as fast as I can. If I'm in a tournament, I want to get them in the net as quick as I can and get them back in the water. Because if you just let them play them out on loose drag and just wear them out, they're going to be wore out already, and it's going to be harder to recover. So I threw some tips out there.
what kind of survival rate are you guys seeing for those redfish with the O2 and water bottles and everything else?
We'll have one every now and then that maybe you hooked it weird or something, but a lot of times, especially with the G juice, it aids in the removing the ammonia and aids in it rejuvenates their slime layer. It just makes them happy. Like if I get one that's like kind of hooked deep or in the gill, actually before I put them in there, I'll take the G juice and I actually pour it down their mouth and like get it down all in there, and it helps them. I've seen that. I've seen a couple of the boat guys do that, and then I kind of picked up on that. And then, you know, there's events where you won't even have a dead fish, period. Everybody show up with live fish, and they all get released.
That's good.
You know, but every now and then you'll have people, man, I ain't going to mess with that. You know, and you better catch some 9-pounders because you're going to lose a half a pound. Lose a half a pound of fish. You know, our slot's 20 to 28 on the redfish. But dude, I like them every now and then too. I'll bring a couple home, and the throats, man, you cut the throats out. You get a pair of 10 snips. You take your, I'll fillet them down to both sides and kind of flap them over, and I'll come up with a big, like the double fillets that's still attached to the tail, and I'll do that on the grill. But then you get the 10 snips and snip them right underneath their throat and then right above their pectoral fins on those little bones. And it'll fold out and it'll be like a perfect little shape piece about like what I'm showing. It looks like a saltwater quail with the fins popped out. That's what we always call them. And you know, butter and garlic with lemon and some one of your favorite Cajun seasoning, and put them on a pellet grill or a charcoal grill and put them over the coals and just let them go. Oh man.
Oh yeah.
The throats are like similar to like a poor man's lobster almost. You know, they got a sweet, delicate flavor to them. The meat's a little different consistency than the fillets off of the backbone, for sure.
Huh. I'd give that a shot. Things.
Yep, definitely good. But I like some good trout every now and then too, man. I'll crust them with crushed pecans, a little bit of breadcrumbs, sear them off, finish them off in the oven, and I'll do some grits. My uncle owns honeybees, and he carries them to whatever's blooming the time of year. My favorite one so far has been palmetto blossom honey, and I'll mix some of that with some sriracha and butter, and I'll add it to my grits and make a little spicy sriracha honey grits, and put that contrasted trout over it with some wilted spinach, and do a little lemon butter sauce and some lump crab meat on top of that, and it's pretty dang tasty.
Hey man, you just come on down, we'll catch the fish, and you know, I'll grab a couple 6-packs of beer, and you just cook all you want.
Just
man.
Cook
we'll
just all you want. There you go.
That's chef life coming out now.
Yeah, it comes out every now and then. I thought about doing a little segment where I share some recipes, you know. Every now and then I'll get crazy and do some stuff. I did some YouTube stuff for a little while. I just got so it's so hard to try to do a video a week, man, especially trying to write articles and now with this podcast, and then, you know, taking over the team for Jackson Kayak. I'm the team manager for them now, starting this year. And it's just been crazy, because I like to get on the water, and I like to get pictures. I like to get content. I like to set up my GoPro on a stakeout pole and try to get different angles and try to do something different, you know? So, you know, it gets busy.
Yeah.
It's busy.
It's hard, man. It's hard to fish and talk about it at the same time, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's days I just want to go fish, and I won't even take a camera with me. I just want to go and fish and just clear my head. You know, that fish is my therapy at times, you know, when I need it. Clear your head, get away from the daily grind and get out there and just enjoy what God put on this earth, this nature we have, the surroundings, the fish. I mean, there's days I'll just watch the redfish come by me. I won't even throw it to them sometimes.
Yeah, okay.
I will. Eventually I'm gonna catch one, but a lot of times I like to watch them and see. Like, I need to bring. I got this little Sony that I've been. This little Sony with the optical zoom, this little mirrorless Sony. I've been needing to take it with me, put it in a waterproof box, and take it and start filming some of them. Redfish, some of their attitude and their habits and what they're doing and all that stuff. I like to watch them sometimes just to see how they.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just annihilate the shrimp.
Dude, they're special cool. Fish. It's amazing how they can go. Like, when they're tailing, they're just so graceful. And you can be out there. I've got a video, Saltwater Aviator. You can go check it out. But the water's just as calm and flat. We had a bunch of fog that morning. We actually had to use the GPS on our phones to get to the fishing spot because we were 0-0 getting in there. But just so graceful, and their tails just barely caressing the top of the water.
Coming out, looking like little tortilla chips sticking out of the water.
Yeah.
Little dark tortillas, little blue corn tortilla chips.
Dude, you see that tail out there, and you just drop a twitch bait or a jerk bait out in front of them, and it's amazing how they go from so calm and graceful to just violent. It's like flipping a switch, and there's nothing like that strike. This is one of the videos I had on Saltwater Aviator 12. Is you could see it. It's like 1-2 and then a cast in there, and as soon as it hit the water, but bam, it's on. He just starts pulling drag, and we're talking 6 inches of water. Fish, you can catch them at the bridge in 25, 30 foot, or you can get 6 inches of water on the marsh, on a grass flat or mud flat or whatever. And they go from smashing bait to chasing crabs or shrimp or whatever else is out there. I mean, they're pretty versatile and just, they're tough, man. The cold doesn't bother them.
Everything. I mean,
yeah.
In the marsh, when the water's high, I'll throw, there's a couple companies that make some bone colored popping frogs.
Okay.
Like a soft-bodied frog for bass, and the redfish will straight smack them.
I've
actually caught one on a marshmallow. I really want to take a jalapeno and run a wire through it with a split ring and put a treble hook on the back and throw a jalapeno at them. I think they'll eat that.
And Texas fish might eat that. I don't know about these Florida fish.
The Texas fish probably will eat it. I think they would. I always have fun. I was throwing the chatterbaits long before iStrike come out with their little chatterbait head, the jig head with the chatterbait blades, and you can run a plastic on them. But I was that old Z-Man original when it came out. I was like, watch this. The redfish are going to eat this, and the flounder eat it too, because they like that flash and that vibration also, and you can yo-yo it on the bottom. And the way the skirt kind of undulates it draws strikes from flounder pretty good too.
Heck yeah, man.
I always like thinking outside the box on the baits. That's why I always, like, I would throw the crankbaits in the deeper parts of the creeks where there's like root balls and stuff at. You get it to bounce off the root balls, and just like how the bass do when stuff comes off structure and around piers and pylons, the redfish do the same thing. You get a reaction strike from them. It's pretty neat.
Dude, so you got all these different lures. What's your go-to? Like, it's a nasty day, conditions are tough, I'm having a hard time finding fish. What's your go-to, your favorite lure that you like to fish with?
I'm flipping the script on me. I'm going to make you the co-host now. Come on. I think I would go with, like, if there's some wind-driven current and the water's a little off-colored, I'm going to go with a Four Horsemen popping cord, about a 12-inch leader. 8-ounce jig head with a skinny water grande kicking shrimp in like a lime truce disco. It's got some black flake and it's got some iridescent flake in it. And I'll just pop that, use that popping cork and kind of drift with it down the shorelines. And especially when I know there's some shell, scattered shell and mud around the grass lines and stuff, I'll beat it up with that popping cork. Or,
heck yeah,
you know, there's days I'll use a wake bait as a search bait. You know, there's a lot of people out there that miss a lot of opportunities by just waiting to see the fish. There's a lot of people out there that just sight cast, and my lure's in the water all the time. When I'm drifting, when I'm moving, when I'm paddling somewhere else, I'm constantly throwing and searching and kind of figure out what they're doing. If I'm not seeing any active activity, I'm throwing. And I've caught a lot of fish. I've actually, you know, cast some good checks blind casting, you know. Especially with that wake bait. That's a big reaction strike bait, especially on the sand flats, you know, where the sand pockets are at. Just blind casting to them and just ripping them through there. You know, you might not see the fish, but he's going to come out from underneath the grass and bam, he's there, you know.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, wake bait's a good search bait for me. You can rip it in fast, cover a lot of water with it. So, yeah, that's one of my go-tos also when it's tough, because you'll usually get a reaction strike out of the fish for sure.
Heck, yeah. Yeah, you just talk about on the move, man. I tell you what, I've caught probably some of my bigger fish that I've ever caught was trolling from one spot to another, just throwing the line out, backing the drag off, and setting a rod in a rod holder and just pumping to the next spot and stumble across them. They're like, hey, I didn't expect them to be here. You know, and you learn a little bit about that area while you're trolling to the next spot. You know, with kayak fishing, that's one of the disadvantages to kayak fishing is that you've got to, if you do have to cover ground, it takes you longer than if you're there in a boat, right? Your boat, you just fire up the main motor and get. But I think with kayak fishing, because you're lower to the water, it's a little bit more intimate. I think you see and hear a lot more. You know, I had my father-in-law found a meme a while back that says, hey, I need to go fishing because I've lost sight in my left ear. which, you know, I mean, kayak fishermen, that's a thing, dude. I mean, dude, there's no telling how many times I've heard a fish pop the water and pop bait. And just stop and wheel around. They're like, oh, okay, hang on, something's going on here. But, you know, if you're in a boat, you'd miss that.
And you're so close to the action. You know, just like you said, you're paying attention to detail of everything going on, especially in a kayak back in that shallow, that, you know, skinning water. You're back there and you hear fish. You'll hear, it sounds like a toilet bowl when a redfish blows up on something back there. Especially in the shallow water. You're like, okay, where'd that come from? And you zoom in on it, scan it, and you see the ripples coming out from the bank, like, oh, he's right there. And then all of a sudden you see a wake moving, he's pushing, you say, oh, he's right there, and you throw it to him, bam, right there, boom.
Ain't nothing like it, man. But we had a night, it was actually a morning, it was dark, we were out fishing before the sun come up, and thought it was pelicans hitting the water. And could not find them. I was like, dude, where are these pelicans at? And we kept going, getting closer and closer to the sound. It was redfish blowing up on bait.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, holy cow. I mean, this fish
birds
awesome.
Dive bombing.
Yeah.
It's all,
we, just red fish. Like pelicans hitting the water.
Bam, bam.
That's
bam,
it, dude.
Bam.
That is
it. I know we, a lot around here, I'll see, like this time of year, I'll set up on oyster reefs and stuff for ambush points for bigger trout. And then all of a sudden you'll see that little, boink, you'll see that little slick pop up about the size of a dinner plate. And it gets bigger as it moves, you know, because the slicks will grow as the wind blows them and kind of pushes them across the surface. So you know there's a good trout sitting right there, especially when they're the size of a dinner plate when they first come up. I'll canvas that, boop, 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 in that area, and just luckily, you know, put that right cast in there on that ambush point and usually get a pretty good one when they do that. I really like to do that this time of year. But yeah, the cold, man, I like it to warm up, but, you know, I like having these little cold snaps this time of year. It gets them trout, you know, riled up a little bit over here, and it pushes them, you know, pushes them a little deep. Then you get a couple warm-up days, and then they're back up on the flats feeding, and they're usually pretty hyped up and ready to munch on a lure too when it gets like that, you know. Pretty cool.
Yeah, around here we've got a spot. I'm fortunate enough to be about 200 yards from the water, and this particular spot that I'm in, it's got a little bit of deeper water in it. It's where a creek kind of dumps into a bayou, which dumps into a bay system. And if there's a front coming through, dude, I'm on the water. You know, that prefrontal system, I'm out there. That, you know, the last couple of fish I put up on our leaderboard, that big trout
was coming from the creeks right there, didn't it?
Come from the creek.
Not even. And then, how close was it to the launch? Like, pretty close.
I tell you what. So I'm still not convinced it was the same fish, but after talking with Wyatt Parcell from Salt Strong, he's kind of got me convinced it was the same fish. There's a bridge that goes over the creek, and I was out on a walk with my wife and kids, and I looked out there and I saw something feed. And I told my wife, I said, that was a big fish. Just come up and fed on that bait right there. Mm. And she said, why don't you go get him? And I said, well, why don't I go get him? I guess if I get back to the house, I'll go get him. So we got back from the walk, and I didn't literally run, but I nearly ran down to the boat launch, pulled in my kayak, and got in there and went right to where I saw that fish feed. And on the second cast, caught a 27.5-inch trout. And there was storm systems coming through that day. Like, we called flights off because of tornadoes and everything else, man. And it was like, all right, so the prefrontal's where it's at. So
the next short window.
That's it. The next storm system went out, and the same thing with the redfish.
So,
very next storm system.
I've seen that before with the trout feeding, and I've actually, a lot of times those bigger fish will run in wolf packs of like two or three. So it's possibly there could have been a couple more, because I've had multiple days where I've caught, you know, a 27 and then had another one 26, you know, right off the same general vicinity, you know, where they were feeding together and like corralling bait and stuff. You know, it's definitely pretty neat to see their behavior at times, you know, and kind of try to figure them out. That's what keeps me going, is trying to figure these big ones out. I haven't broke 30 inches. I've gotten super, super close, but I'm waiting on that magic one. I know they're out there. I've had a couple on with, especially this year, I've had one on a glide bait that threw the bait that was over 30 for sure. I got a good look at her, and she was gigantic.
Yeah, man.
Freaking heart was fluttering. I mean, I was just like, it's like you got that buck fever. It was that big trout fever, man. It was like, whoa.
There's nothing like it. And those big trout don't fight like trout anymore. Once they get over about 24 to 26 inches, they start fighting like redfish.
Yeah, you'll get some good runs, and then you'll come up, and when they come up, and just start flopping that head back and forth, like just bam, 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 violent. I've had them jump. I've had a 25, almost 26 inch fish jump, and it did like three flips in the air, like almost like 3 foot out of the water. Like, it was insane. Yeah. It's like, man,
like a lady
when pigs fly, man, when pigs fly. Yeah, I got a picture floating around on Instagram of that one. That was a pretty good one.
That's pretty wild, fun day. Man.
February too, top water. Don't sleep on the top water. Don't sleep on the one knocker spook in the winter. Don't sleep on it.
Jeez, top water in the wintertime.
Oh yeah. Water's about 59 or 60. It's on. Ooh. This on for sure. Well, dude, man, I appreciate you coming on, sharing a little bit about yourself and about the race to 20. Anybody out there wants to jump in on that, check out their page. You know, Brandon's page is right there, saltwater_aviator12, and the race to 20 on the IG. I'll post some links up on my Facebook page and Instagram. Look for it on mine also. I'll share some of the stories. I'll share some stuff, the stories, and then reshare some of his stuff also. With this stuff coming up, you know, we're currently fishing one of them right now, wrapping it up on March 31st. I need to get some redfish on the board.
You better hustle.
I know, I better hustle. I better go get a couple of them at least. I'll get a couple at least, I hope. I'll be pre-fishing at the end of March for my first redfish tournament in April. So we'll see what happens. Well, I'll be in Florida too coming up. The 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th in be Tampa, St. Pete, and then I'll come up towards St. Mark's area, like below Tampa, fish some of that, and maybe even stop and fish with you on the way back for one day. We'll have to see if it lines up. Check your schedule out.
Yeah, stay in touch. If the white fender's still here, we'll take you out and get you in a real fight.
Hey, fun right there.
You ain't lived till you hooked up with a 30-pound blackfin tuna from a kayak.
Oh, I know. That's got to be insane. I've caught some good kingfish, but I haven't not a blackfin tuna. I want to do that for sure,
dude. The tug is a drug, man.
How everything pans out, but man, we thank you for coming on. Want to give you a chance. If you got anybody you want to thank or any other shout outs you want to do, you know, go ahead right now.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. Want to thank everybody that's involved with the original Race to 20. I want to thank, you know, Release Over 20 for partnering up with us. And stepping in and like, hey, you know, listen, I can't run this. Why don't you guys take the lead on it and then stand right next to my side and kind of help guide me through this thing. We're excited to see this tournament grow. Excited to be here tonight and to do this podcast, Dustin. I appreciate you having me on, man. It helps support me. And it's awesome to know that guys like you got it, guys like Scotty Wasson out in North Carolina. You know, Colin O'Brien's one of the Wade fishermen guys we got here. It's good to know that guys like that, they're in the game, they're in the fishing community, they're conservationists, and these guys are in our corner fighting for us and helping us get on our feet and get this thing off the launch pad, so to speak. So excited. Hey man, anybody interested in the Summer Slam, which is what we're calling this new summer tournament? It's going to run from April 1st to September 31st. Stay tuned. We're still working out all the details as far as the scoring, but just go to the Race of 20 and kind of keep checking in on there. We're about to kind of get that page fully underway. And right now it's still in construction. So just get that page fully underway, and then you'll be able to follow the summer competition there. But like the original Race to 20 that we've been running, the fall competition, we're going to continue to run that through Saltwater Aviator. So be looking for the updates to come out, and maybe you can see me try to catch Dustin and the trout community or the trout division for the rest of this next month and a half, man. So
I hope you do. I hope you get out there smashing.
Hey, dude, I was looking back through pictures.
Trying to keep building on it.
I was looking through pictures from last year. We had a couple of days in February and March where we was putting 6 trout on the board. So in one day. So
that's cool. Yep.
Yeah.
It'll happen. Yeah.
I'm hoping we gotta get some cold weather here to push in bigger trout up in the deeper creek holes.
Yeah, push them in the creeks. Yep. That's what we need. We need a little bit more here too. So hopefully that'll happen. But yeah, man, once again, I thank you for coming on. Hang tight real quick after I run this outro. But we'll close everything out now. Once again, thanks to everybody that tunes in to Chasing the Tide. We appreciate you guys. Without you, we wouldn't be here doing this. And I wouldn't be able to talk the paint off of the wall, which Brandon can do too. So if we didn't quit this right now, we'd probably keep going on for another hour or so. And then my wife's going to be mad at me because she's probably at the door, like ready to come in the room and go to bed. Don't get kicked out. So yeah, once again, thanks for everybody. Check us out. You know, Facebook page, Paddle and Fin. Instagram's Paddle and Fin. All podcast platforms, all that good stuff. Leave reviews if you can. Give us some ratings and let us be seen more. It's always good to help it grow. So once again, thank y'all for tuning in, and we'll catch y'all next time on Chasing the Tide.
See you. Have a good night, bro.
Yep.